Okay, good morning, everybody. Shavua Tov and Chodesh Tov. Welcome to our special Chodesh Kislev Shir at the Young Israel of Woodmere. So we are in Kislev. I constantly marvel at where does the time go, but it goes. In just a few weeks, it will be Hanukkah, Be'ezras Hashem. So let us learn some insights into the mitzvah of Hadakas Neiros, and then the Hashkafa into understanding the Neis of Hanukkah. It was during a private meeting between the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Menachem Mendel Schneerson, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and Yehuda Avner. Yehuda Avner is, of course, very well known, quite famous, Zecher Levracha. He was an advisor to three different prime ministers, Rabin, Begin, and Shimon Peres. He was a speechwriter for Golda Meir. It was during a private meeting between the Lubavitcher Rebbe and Yehuda Avner. Suddenly, the Rebbe started to meditate out loud. He offered, perhaps, the clearest exposition he had ever expressed on how he saw his role in Jewish life. Rabbi Yehuda, he said to Avner, let me tell you what I try to do. Imagine you are looking at a candle. What you're really seeing is a mere lump of wax, and there is a thread down the middle. So when do the thread and the wax really become a candle? In other words, when do they fulfill their purpose for which they were created? When you put a flame to the thread, only then do you have a candle, because then the thread and the wax meet together and fulfill their purpose. The Rebbe's voice now shifted to the chanting cadence in which Gemara is studied. The wax is the body, and the wick is the soul. The thread is the soul, the wax is the body. Bring the flame of Torah to the soul, and the body will fulfill the purpose for which it was created. And that, Rabbi Yehuda, he said to Avner, is what I try to do, to ignite the soul of every Jew with the fire, with the flame, with the warmth of Torah, with the passion of tradition, with the sanctity of our heritage, so that every individual Jew can fulfill the purpose for which he or she was created. At this point in the Yechidus, in the meeting between the Rebbe and Avner, it was already 2 a.m. The buzzer on the Rebbe's desk was sounding repeatedly, a reminder there were visitors outside, still waiting to be allowed in for their turn with the Rebbe. As the subdued Avner rose to bid farewell, the Rebbe escorted him to the door, and Avner posed his final question of the evening. Has the Rebbe, he said, lit my candle? No, said the Rebbe, clasping Avner's hand and sending him out with one final thought. I cannot light your candle. I have given you the match. Only you can light your own candle. If you look at the first source on your handout, please, it's Maseches Shabbos, Chaf Aleph, Amud Beis, and this is where the Gemara discusses the mitzvah of Hanukkah. Please, if you just came in, make sure that you have a handout. Maseches Shabbos, Chaf Aleph, Amud Beis. On your handout, it says Shabbos 21b. Tanu Rabbanan. Mitzvahs Chanukah, Ner Ish Uveso. The most basic level of Mitzvahs Chanukah is that a man lights one light each night for every member of his household. That's the most basic mitzvah. Now, nobody here does that. Everyone's looking at me because who lights only the head of the household one light every night? To include everybody, we don't do that. V'hamehadrin, the more enhanced way of fulfilling the mitzvah, ner l'chol echad ve'echad. I'm on your handout. The Mahadrin way is that it's one light for every person every night of Hanukkah. V'hamehadrin min hamehadrin, and the more elevated of the elevated, Beishamai omrim, Beishamai says, Yom Rishon, on the first day, Madlik Shmona, you light eight, Mikan ve'elach, from there on, going forward, Poches v'holech, you light one less every night. That's Mahadrin min Mahadrin, according to Beishamai. U'Beis Hillel omrim, and Beis Hillel says, no, that's not how you do it. Yom Rishon, on the first day, Madlik Echas, we light one, this is of course how we paskin, Mikan ve'elech, from there on, Mosi v'holech, so on night one, you light one, on night two, you light two, on night three, you light three, that is every person for themselves, that's the most Mahadrin min HaMahadrin way, according to Beis Hillel. According to Beishamai, which is not how we paskin, the most Mahadrin Mahadran min ha-Mahadran way is 8 the first night, 7 the second night, 6 the next night, etc., etc. So first, let's understand these different opinions, and I'm going to be giving over some halachos that I have never learned before. The basic way we practice is it's not going to change, but just some understanding of what the Gemara teaches. First of all, the rabbis here prescribe multiple levels of enhancement for the command to light Hanukkah. There's the basic way. Mitzvah Hanukkah means the most basic fulfillment, the way it is basically fulfilled. Okay? There are times, I'm sure, in our history, today we take things for granted because mitzvahs are so easy for us, but there are times in our history, you can imagine in communist Russia, for example, when if you could even light the most basic way, near each uveso, one lamp every night for the whole household, that was unbelievable. For us, that's the most basic way. Then there's the Mahadran. Then there's the Mahadran min ha-Mahadran. So we have multiple levels of enhancement for the command to light Hanukkah candles. There's Mitzvah Hanukkah, there's Mahadran, and there's Mahadran min ha-Mahadran. And I bolded it for you so that you see that it is three different levels. The Beis HaLevi is Chuso Yagan Nileinu, Rav Yashar Ber Soloveitchik, the Beis HaLevi explains, why do we have multiple levels? We don't usually see this. There's usually a mitzvah and you have to do it. There's Skiya Shofar, and there's fasting on Yom Kippur, and there's mitzvah, and you do the mitzvah. The miracle, you know, commemorated by the mitzvah, explains the Beis HaLevi, was itself enhanced. The basic mitzvah, the Beis HaLevi explains, was an enhanced mitzvah performance. How so? The Jews found when they entered the time of Second Temple, the Syrian Greeks ruled over Eretz Yisrael, and when the Jews entered the Heichal, and they found a single flask of undefiled oil, which we're going to see in the Gemara soon, they found that flask. They could have sustained the menorah and lit for 8 days by doing a reduced level of enhancement. How so, says the Beis HaLevi? They could have made thinner wicks. There is no command as prescription as to exactly how thick the wick should be. They could have used perhaps less oil, or the wick's 1/8 of their normal size, very little oil, which means it would have lasted for all 8 nights. They chose to enhance the kindling, understanding that they didn't have enough oil. They did it the Mahadran min ha-Mahadran way, the Beis HaLevi explains, using wicks of normal thickness, which use up more oil, and therefore the Rabbanim teach us that when it comes to Mitzvah Chanukah, there are different levels of enhancement to commemorate that the miracle was originally done. The act was originally done with an added level of enhancement. They wanted to do the mitzvah in the most mehudar way possible. What about Mahadran min ha-Mahadran? So there's actually a dispute between the Tosfos and the Rambam concerning how to interpret this level of enhancement. You see, there's mitzvahs ner Chanukah, Shabbos, on your handout, 21b, Chaf Alf Amad Beis. There's Mitzvah Chanukah. There's Mahadran min ha-Mahadran. So the Rambam, Maimonides, and Tosfos have a disagreement as to how you exactly understand the Mahadran min ha-Mahadran level. The Rambam, Maimonides, understands it supplements the first level, meaning if one wishes to embellish the basic mitzvah, he kindles one light for every member of his household on each night of Chanukah. So the most basic level is the head of the household lights one light on every night. According to the Rambam, the embellished way is every person in the household lights one light on every night of Chanukah. If he wishes to enhance the mitzvah even further, he adds, according to Beis Hillel, another light for every member of his household on every night. That's the Rambam. That's our basic understanding of the Gemara. Tosfos has a different opinion. Tosfos understands the two levels of enhancement are unrelated. They are rather Mahadran and Mahadran min ha-Mahadran, according to Tosfos, are, where is my place? Alternate choices for how to enhance the basic mitzvah. How so? According to Tosfos, if you want to embellish the basic mitzvah, you light one light for every member of the household on each night of Chanukah. That's according to Tosfos. That's the embellishment of the mitzvah. So instead of doing one light for the head of the household on every night, you think they made it right on purpose, light and night? I'm joking. So then, if you want to enhance, according to Tosfos, the first way you would enhance is one light on every night for every member of the household. However, one who wishes to enhance, alternatively, a better way, will kindle one multiple lights for every member of the household increasing. In other words, according to Tosfos, there's an alternative way to enhance or embellish the mitzvah, where according to the Rambam, they are ascending in the levels of Mahadran. Different ways to understand the Gemara. Now we have to understand the different positions. I said that the first part of the shiur is just going to be understanding the Gemara a little bit, which is something that I've never really delved into, and something that I certainly have never given over or taught, so this is new. The second part of shiur will be more hashkafek. Okay? So now we have to understand the difference of opinion at Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in regard to these opinions. Now, Chanukah is an acronym, one of many things it stands for, Chanukah, Ches Neiros V'Halacha K'Beis Hillel. So if you want to know how we paskin, if you forgot how you lit last year and the year before and the year before, which nobody did, but in case, so it's Ches Neiros V'Halacha K'Beis Hillel. So that's very clear. Ches Neiros, it's 8 candles, according to Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. That's the most Mahadran Min HaMahadran way. V'Halacha K'Beis Hillel. What does Beis Hillel say? It's the first source on your hand. Oh, Yom Rishon Madlik Achas Mikan Ve'Elech Mosif V'Halech. So Halacha K'Beis Hillel. You start with one, and on the last night you have 8. Okay. So, Beis Hillel paskins like this because Beis Hillel holds you go up in Kedusha and not down. Ma'alim b'kodesh ve'ein moridin. You go up in Kedusha and not down. So it's easier for us to understand this opinion of Beis Hillel, which is in fact like we paskin. But how can we understand the opinion of Beis Shammai, who says that we start with 8 and we go down to 1. Okay. So how do we understand that? Yom Rishon Madlik Shmona Mikan Ve'elech Poches V'Holech. You decrease the flames with every night. How does Beis Shammai understand this? Or we should say, why does Beis Shammai paskin like this? Ben Yehoyada explains. Ben Yehoyada was the Chacham Yosef Chaim Mi-Baghdad, better known as the Ben Ish Chai. Ben Yehoyada was his commentary on the Gemara. So he explains. He lived 1835 to 1909, for your reference. Yosef Chaim Mi-Baghdad, HaChacham. The one flask of uncontaminated oil that they found should have been consumed entirely on the first night. We all know that, the miracle of oil. The oil miraculously reproduced itself, if you will. It was blessed for 8 days, and on each night, only an eighth of oil was consumed. It should have been 100% of oil was consumed on when? The first night of Hanukkah. However, only 1/8 of the oil was used on each night. So Ben Yehoyada has a very interesting interpretation of the position of Beis Shammai. On the first night, all 8 parts of oil were affected by the miracle. On the second night, the 7 remaining parts of oil were affected by the miracle. On the third night, the 6 remaining parts of oil were affected by the miracle, and so on and so forth. Beis Shammai therefore rules that when we kindle the Hanukkah lights, it's in decreasing number. It actually corresponds to the parts of oil that were affected by the nais. It's very beautiful. Do you understand what I just said? And Yada explains that 1/8 of the oil it should have been all 8 parts of oil were used. The oil was divided, it miraculously lasted. So on the first night, I'm repeating it, 8 parts of oil were affected. On the second night, 7 parts of oil, 6 parts of oil. And therefore, according to Beis Shammai, to commemorate the actual miracle, you should decrease. It has nothing to do, according to Beis Shammai, with going down in Kedusha. It actually has to do with commemorating the miracle, the way the miracle really was. This is how many parts of oil were affected, so this is how many candles you light on each night. Let's continue with what the Gemara says further. Amar Ula. The next little paragraph, that's still Masechta Shabbos, Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, which is why you don't have a new source for that. Second paragraph on your handout. Amar Ula. Pilige batrei amore b'ma'arava. There is a dispute amongst 2 Amorim in the west, b'ma'arava. When the Gemara, which is a Babylonian Talmud, refers to the west, if you think of the map, who are they referring to? Northeast, southwest, in Israel. They're referring to the sages in to the west of Babylon, Eretz Yisrael. So there is Trey, like Trey Asar, 12 prophets. There is a dispute amongst 2 Amorim in the west. Who are the 2 Amorim? Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, Rabbi Yossi bar Zevida. Okay, please make sure you have a handout or you're sitting next to someone. There are more in the bima if you don't have one. Chad Amar, Ta'ama de Beis Shammai, Keneged Yamim Hanichnasin, V'Ta'ama de Beis Hillel, Keneged Yamim Yotzin. One says Beis Shammai's reason for decreasing the lights corresponds to the number of days yet to come. So on the first night of Hanukkah, why do we light 8? Beis Shammai says because there are 8 days of Hanukkah yet to come. On the second night, we light 7 because there are 7 days of Hanukkah yet to come. So according to this opinion, according to Beis Shammai, we decrease. Again, we're not going down to Kedusha. We're understanding Beis Shammai's opinion differently. We're just saying there are 8 days of Hanukkah on the first night. On the second night, we say there are 7 days of Hanukkah. On the third night, we say there are 6 more days of Hanukkah. However, according to Beis Hillel, Keneged Yamin HaYotzi, and according to Beis Hillel, where lighting corresponds to the number of days already passed or already observed. So on the second night, we're saying this is going to be 2 days that have been observed. On the third day, we're going to say 3 days have been observed. Are we counting forward, days to come? Are we counting backward, days that have passed? Furthermore, V'chad Amar Ta'ama de Beis Shammai Keneged Parei HaChag. What is Beis Shammai referring to? Parei HaChag. Chag in the Torah is commonly known as which Yantif is Chag? Sukkot. Okay, 1 second. We're talking about the bull offerings brought on Sukkot. So far, according to our most basic interpretation here of the Gemara, not on the level of someone who's a Baki Bishas, but in our basic level of the Gemara, we're starting to understand and dissect a little bit this piece of Gemara to help us understand really what the different opinions are. On a more deeper level, how we understand going up, going down, Mahadrin, Mahadrin, Mina, Mahadrin. Now Beis Shammai seems to throw something into the picture that has nothing to do with anything. And all of a sudden he's talking about the 70 bull sacrifices offered on Sukkot as part of the Musaf offerings. Okay, that's what we're going to explain it. V'chad Amar Ta'ama de Beis Shammai Keneged Parei HaChag. Beis Shammai says, you decrease the lights. We've already given multiple reasons that we have explained. But now another interpretation. The Gemara says, Pasha, you decrease the lights like the Parei HaChag, the 70 bulls, the Musaf offerings on Sukkot. Every day there were fewer bulls. V'tamei de Beis Hillel, de ma'alim b'kodesh ve'ein moridim. And the reason of Beis Hillel that you go from 1 to 8 is because you should always be going up in Kedusha and not going down. What is Beis Shammai talking about? Parei HaChag. Why do we kindle Chanukah lich in commemoration of something that happened with the bulls of the Sukkot offerings? Because they decreased every day. Well, we decrease Chanukah lich. And what is the connection between or the lesson from there to here? Okay. A total of 70 bulls were offered on Sukkot, corresponding to the Shivim Umos HaOlam. And every day they decreased, showing that the Umos HaOlam will eventually decrease till Knesset Yisrael will be left alone. That's a dual meaning, actually, when I say that. One will be left alone, i.e. Knesset Yisrael will reign supreme, but also will be left alone. They will finally leave us alone. On the first day, 13 bulls were slaughtered and offered, and the number decreased by 1 on each succeeding day. So Beis Shammai says, just like Parei HaChag decreased by 1 on each succeeding day, so too Chanukah Lech decreases by 1 on each succeeding day. Why is Beis Shammai's opinion influenced by this seemingly unrelated halacha of Parei HaChag? Okay. The progressive decreasing, diminution of sacrifices symbolizes the gradual weakening of the nations that oppose God's teaching. We demonstrate on the Chag that there is a diminishing of the power, of the strength, of the number, halavai it should be in our days, v'lamalshinim alsihi sikva. They gradually decrease over time. Here too, there exists a compelling reason to publicize the true nature of the miracle of Hanukkah. A single flask of oil gradually diminished over an 8-day period. So that is from the footnote in the Art School Gemara, where it teaches what's the connection between the Parei HaChag. They diminished over time. What's the connection between the oil? It also diminishes over time. But I think that there must be something much deeper going on here. It can't just be the Parei HaChag diminished over the days. And so too, the Chanukah Lich therefore diminishes over the days. What are we really learning here? Perhaps we're learning that just like the Musaf offerings correspond to the Umos HaOlam, which diminish over time, the Neros Chanukah, the light of Knesset Yisrael, also serves to remind us that the Umos HaOlam, we must believe, we have to have hope. We have to have emunah. We have to have faith that the Umos HaOlam will diminish over time, just like a small band of Jews was able to win over a huge army of Syrian Greeks. I saw on Chabad.org, I think, that Antiochus sent 40,000 soldiers to fight against this small group of Kohanim. Beis Hashmonaim, bless you. So how could it be that we won? We believe that just like Parei HaChag diminish over time, the Nes of Chanukah symbolizes that the Umos HaOlam will ultimately, that's right, diminish over time. So only one is left. And who will be that one? B'ni Bechor Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael. When, with my dual meaning, they will finally leave us alone and we will be left alone. So that is what Beis Shammai here is referring to. The darkness, you know, it's not an accident that we light the Chanukah Licht and the menorah in the shortest time of the year. I know, I'm sure how you all felt this past Friday. You wake up and you think it's Shabbos. Like, when you wake up, where does the day go? It's the middle of the afternoon. It's the darkest time of the year. The nights are the longest. Darkness represents galus, and darkness represents the oppression of the Umos HaOlam. And dafka now we take a light, and we bring a little bit of light. Let's recall what the Lubavitcher Rebbe said to Yehuda Avner, only you can light your flame, and we must kindle the amuna within ourselves. According to Beis Shammai, when you see the lights decreasing, remember Parei HaChag. First of all, I hope that we have all shed some light, pun is very much intended, into the insight of Beis Shammai, because I'll tell you the truth, I never really understood Beis Shammai. I never actually gave too much thought to the opinion of Beis Shammai. Okay, Beis Shammai says you start with A, you go with one. We don't paskin like him, we paskin like Beis Hillel, chas neres v'alacha k'Beis Hillel. But we're understanding that Beis Shammai's reasoning and psak halacha actually teaches us many things, even though we do not paskin like that. Like Ben Yehoyada said, every day corresponds to the parts of oil that were affected. Furthermore, according to Beis Shammai, we are commemorating how many days are yet to come. Furthermore, when you kindle lights, what should you have in mind? Parei HaChag. Parei HaChag. What is Sukkot, the last Yantav that I just celebrated, have to do with Hanukkah? A lot. The bulls representing the Umos HaOlam diminished till Knesset Yisrael is left alone. We come to Shmini Atzeres. Hashem says, now everyone else is gone. It's just me and you. When we light the Chanukah Licht, we have to remember, we have to believe, we have to kindle our own flame, instill within ourselves amuna and hope. That just like Parei HaChag diminished till Knesset Yisrael is alone with Hashem, our Chanukah Licht will be left alone. It's just going to be one little light of Knesset Yisrael, but that light will be eternal, and that light will be able to banish the rishus and the false lights of the Umos HaOlam. Beautiful. Let's go on. Let's go on. Yeah, if you have them. I probably have them. I have. Thank you, Susie. Okay, what time is it? Okay, I told you we still have to get to the Hashkafa part. Oh, we're starting. Even though, by the way, that was Hashkafa mixed in with understanding the Halacha and the positions of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Now, Beis Hillel paskins, thank you, Susie. Beis Hillel paskins, Yom Misha Madik Achas, Mikan Ve'edich. I'm quoting the wrong thing. Tama de Beis Hillel, last line of paragraph 2. Demali Bekodesh Ve'ein Moridi. And this is something that doesn't require in depth explanation for us on our level. We hope that we live lives. We hope. We live lives where we are always striving to increase in Kedusha and not go down. Woe unto us when we stop striving to reach higher and higher levels. Because if we think we are complacent with our level, automatically we will start to go down. Let's continue. Third paragraph. It's still from Masechet Shabbos, Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Shekin shenichnesu yavanim lehechal, timul kohashmanim. And the yavanim, the Syrian Greeks, came into the hechal. They defiled all the oils. Shabbat hechal. כשגברה מלכוס בייס חשמונאי ונצחום, when the house of בייס חשמונאי, the Kohanim won, they were victorious. The art scroll footnote in the Gemara says that the recapture of the temple and the miracle of Hanukkah occurred in the year 165 before the Common Era. We're talking about Bayusheni. Badku velo matzu ala pach echad shal shemen. They check the sanctuary, there's a pig, there's been a Avodah Zarah offered, and they only find one pach, one single flask of oil, shehaya munach b'chos Moshel Kohen Gadol. They miraculously find one pure flask of oil. It is sealed, it is closed, it is pure. Not only that, it has the choteim, it has the stamp or the seal of the Kohen Gadol. V'lo haya bo ela lahadik yom echad. There was only enough oil to last for one day. I boil the next words for you. Na'ase bo nes. A miracle was done. V'hidliku mimenu. And they lit from it. Shmode yamim, which is what we've been talking about in the first half of this year. How we kindle lights to remember the miracle of 8 days. A miracle was done. They lit from it for 8 days. L'shana acheres. In the next year. Kavum v'asum yamim tovim b'halo v'hodak. In the next year, the rabbis enacted and established a yantif, yamim tovim, it was yantif days, b'halo with praise, u'behoda'a, and with giving thanks. So, of course, on this Gemara, on this piece of Gemara, there are so many interpretations as to what exactly the miracle was. The most common interpretation of the miracle is that there was enough oil for one day. The oil lasted for 8 days, and therefore, we like Hanukkah for 8 days. You could also say that the miracle is Badku velo matzu ala pach echad shel shemen. You could also say that that was a miracle. What was the miracle? The fact that, never mind how long it lasted, the fact that they went into the place that had totally been defiled by the Syrian Greeks, by Antiochus and his men, by the Hellenists, the assimilationists who were living in the Holy Land, the assimilation and going over to the ways of the Syrian Greeks was rampant at that time. So, you could say, that's a miracle. Lo matzu ala pach echad shel shemen. It's a tremendous miracle that they found any oil at all. The golden menorah was no longer there. In fact, the miracle of Hanukkah was on a cheaper metal. They had to reconstruct a new menorah. It was not the golden menorah. The menorah was gone. It's a miracle to find oil. Therefore, we have a miracle, a holiday of oil. We eat lakas. Oh my gosh. They're coming soon. We eat sufgani up. We eat things fried in oil to remember. That's a miracle of oil. So that's not even talking about how many days the oil lasted for. That's just Pasha talking about the fact that there was oil found at all. That's a miracle. Another miracle, you could say, Shahaya munach b'chos Moshel Kohen Gadol. That's also a miracle. Not only did they find oil, but it was pure oil that still was sealed. You know, lahavdel of alfei of dollars, when you open a jar, if it says if it's been popped up, don't use, because maybe somebody contaminated that jam, and it could be, I'm not making a joke, there are plenty of sick and crazy people. Somebody went into the grocery store, they opened all the jams, they put some tummy, physically tuma in there, you're going to be poisoned. If seal is popped up or broken, don't use. Aleph Alfei of Dollars. Happens when I try and talk too fast. So what happens? The fact that they found anything with the chosim of the Kohen Gadol representing Kedusha, that's a different miracle. So we're understanding that it's not so clear cut what the miracle was. Yes, there was enough oil for one night, but there are other miracles going on here. One is what we just said. And the fact that they found anything pure in a place of total defilement in the time of Bayisheni, when the Umos Ha'olam had the upper hand, is a miracle. The fact that the oil that they found was sealed with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, it was not defiled, was another miracle. How about the first line, v'kishagavra malchus beis chashmonai v'natzchum. How about that? Avram Avinu goes to war. He's this one tzaddik. He's one gadol hador. And he hears vayerach eschanichav. He has to arm his men. 318 vayir defame adon. Where do you have that the pious Jew sits in the tents of Torah is able to go to war and fight? Where is that koach even from? That's also a miracle brought down here in the Gemara. How is it possible that a small band of Kohanim was able to win over the strong army of Antiochus in the first place. So there are many miracles going on here, a number of which we pointed out. Okay. Rabim biyad me'atim, tmeim biyad tahorim, mishayim biyad tzadikim. But I want to bring out a totally different aspect of the Neis Chanukah. And I want to point out that all these miracles, based on the Gemara that we just spoke about, we said that the fact that the Chashmonaim won was a tremendous miracle. How did Avram Avinu win the First World War? He's an old man. He's not a warrior. He's running away from Nimrod. It's a miracle. If you read the book, which I mentioned to you before, Angels in the Sky. Angels in the Sky is about the fledgling IAF, Israeli Air Force, at the time of the establishment of the State of Israel. At one point in the book, they begin with, you must read this book. It's on my website, it's recommended reading. It's called Angels in the Sky. I believe the author is Gant, G-A-N-D-T, but I could look it up for you after. So they start how they even got the planes and how they got the fighters. It's a nation built on the ashes of the Holocaust. So they have like 5 planes. And at one point, and they were old planes and they would explode and some of the pilots lost their lives. They were unreliable. They're down to one plane. They're down to one plane. I'll read the book. One plane. It's not a Jewish book. It's not like Feldman. It's a regular book. It's written not by a Jewish author, but by a historian. They're down to one plane, and they have to do this mission over Cairo. They don't have satellite systems, and they don't have maps. They fly. They open the door, and when they think they're over their target, these Jewish boys throw. They're from America. Some are not Jewish. They're from Britain. They literally take the bombs and throw them out and hope they land in the right place. What's the miracle? That's a miracle. What's another miracle? That they found any oil. So it's a yantiv of oil. What's another miracle? That there's anything pure in the midst of the famine. What's another miracle? Because there was only enough. But I want to point out something else. All of those nisim that the Chashmonaim won, that they found a pach shemen, that it was sealed with the stamp of the Kohen Gadol, that it lasted for 8 days instead of one, all those miracles are divine in nature. They're all divine. And God can do whatever he wants. So they are amazing miracles, but is that the greatest miracle of Hanukkah? Is that what we commemorate through each generation, through the times of darkest darkness, through the times when we are more comfortable and we think that there is more light? Is that what we are commemorating? My son sent me a picture, I don't think it was last year, I think it was 2 years ago, of his friend's brother who was in some secret unit of the IDF. And I don't know if it was a joke or real, but it's not the point. It was some dark stairwell. You don't know where it is, and it's donuts as base, and there are candles in the donuts, and the candles were lit. And whether it's true or it's not true, or it was just done as not really lighting the Chanukah lich, but technically, if the donuts are all lined up in a row and the candles are all the same height, and you make 2 donuts higher for the Shabbos, I'm just kidding, then you could have your Chanukah lich. What's the greatest nace of Chanukah? And how do we see it from this Gemara? It's true that it's a great nace that was Rabbi Biyad Ma'atim. You have that repeatedly in our history. We have that starting from Avram Avinu. He set the precedent that one airplane could bomb Cairo and actually be victorious, that they could win. And it's also a nace that they found the Pach of Shemen. But that's God's miracle. And it's also a nace that it was sealed with the stamp of the Kohen Gadol. But that's also God's miracle. And it was also a nace that the Shemen lasted for 8 days. But that nace is divine in nature. And what are we celebrating when we light to the Lubavitcher Rebbe your own candle every year on Hanukkah? Where is the hope? Where is the amuna? Where is the belief that we will be the last man standing when all the parei hachag have diminished and only Knesset Yisrael is left? And I bolded the words for you. Na'ase bo neis v'hidliku mimenu. What's the miracle?
We
may
win.
We?
That declared the miracle.
The miracle is that we lit at all. Hashem, the Ein Sof, the Haya Hoveviyah, the Borei Olam, could do whatever he wants. It's tremendous that the Ribbono Shel Olam wrought these miracles for us. But we're not shocked that God could do miracles. Of course he could do miracles. He created this whole world. He created us. He created everything in it. If he wants, Rabbim biyad ma'atim, Zaydim biyad oskei torasecha, Giborim biyad chalashim, it will be. If he wants you to find Shemen, you're going to find. If he wants it to be undefiled with the stamp of the Kohen Gadol, it will be. If he wants Shemen to last for 8 days, it will be. If he wants vinegar to burn instead of oil, it will be. What's the nace? Na'ase bo nace. Bidliku mimenu. What's the nace? You come into the Heichal. You're one of the few who still believes in God. You have not assimilated like the masses. You have managed to maintain your faith despite all odds. You remember Mi Kamocha Ba'eli Mashem, there's no power like the Ribbono Shel Olam, but the tide has overtaken the land. There's not enough oil. The Syrian Greek influence is all over. The Hellenists are spreading their kofrus. The temple is defiled. So you look around this temple, there's no menorah, it's a mess. And you give up and you go home. What's the point? What's the point? Look at this pigsty, pun intended, once again. What's the point? There's so much tumah all around. We can't possibly clean this place up. We can't possibly bring Kedusha and Tahara back. What's the godless? V'hidliku mimenu, na'ase bonis. I have an idea. Let's light. And the cynicist and the pessimist would have said, why are you lighting? Why are you bothering? Look at the tumah all around you. Look how bleak the world is. Look at the outlook. Why are you bothering to go on when it's so dark? Just give up. One unknown diarist commented on seeing two pregnant women in the Warsaw Ghetto. If Jewish women in this time can bring new life into the world, then this is heroism of undreamt caliber. What's the greatest nace of Hanukkah? The greatest nace is not that the Ribbono Shel Olam did nisim. He does nisim every day. We all woke up this morning. We all said in the Hallelujahs, call her neshama tahalaka. Say, Chazal, don't read it neshama tahalaka, read it neshima tahalaka. I just take a breath. You know how much has to go right in my body for me to be able to take a breath? Hashem could do whatever he wants. The greatest nace is the tenacity, the amuna, the perseverance of Knesset Yisrael. Who would like? What would you say? Forget it. I'm going home. Forget it. We lost. Wam pach shemen. It's pathetic. I'm not even trying. We can't possibly win over darkness. Na'ase bo neis v'hidliku mimenu. This is not the neis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing nisim v'nifla'os. It's the miracle that Knesset Yisrael continues to have the amuna to go on. That's the greatest neis. Something that we discussed this year in Parsha class, Bereishis 15:5 on your handout, Perek Tesvav Pasuk Hei. This is the parak of the Bris Bein Habsarim, and before the Bris Bein Habsarim, the pasuk says, "Vayetzi also hachutza." Hashem took Avraham Avinu outside. Vayomer, so Rashi says, "Stay me instagnidu shachat." So out of your astrology, Vayomer habeina hashamayim, cast your gaze on the heavens. Usipar hakochavim, count the stars. Im tuchal lispor osam, if you can count them. Vayomer lo, and Hashem said, ko yezarecha, so your offspring will be. What does it mean, ko yezarecha? So, according to many interpretations, it means just like the stars are so many, so too, Knesset Yisrael will be so many. Just as your children will shine light, just as stars twinkle light in darkness, so too Knesset Yisrael will twinkle, will shine light in darkness. But Rav Elimelech Biderman, some of you may remember from when we learned this, Rav Elimelech Biderman brings one of the most beautiful interpretations I have heard. And Rav Biderman writes, when Hashem told Avraham Avinu to count the stars, Avram started to count them. Hashem says, Uspar kochavim. So Avram says, okay, I'm going to count. One, two, imagine. Now, we have to understand what the night sky looks like. It doesn't look like what you see here with light pollution. If you see 10 stars, it's a good night. It looks like when you go to Midbar Yehuda and there is no light pollution and the sky is blanketed with stars. In Avraham Avinu's days, there's no light pollution and he doesn't see what we see. He sees billions of stars. And God says, start to count. So what would a normal person say? No, thank you. I'm wasting my time, I'm wasting your time. A normal person, says Rav Biderman, would say, this is impossible. I cannot count the stars. A normal person would enter the Heichal and say, this is totally defiled. It is absolute tuma. There is no point in even lighting the menorah at all. No, thank you. There are an endless amount of stars, but says Rav Biderman, when Hashem told Avraham Avinu, count the stars, he began to count. What does Ko Yehi Ezarecha mean? Says Rav Biderman, the Jewish people will never say, no matter the odds, this is impossible. We have the Koach from Avraham Avinu, who just pashut, God said, count. And Avram knew it's not possible to count, but if Hashem says, do it, I'm going to do it. Somehow I believe I'm going to get the job done. Ko Yehi Ezarecha. As difficult as the task might seem, what did Avraham Avinu do? He started to count. So too your children will be, says Rav Biderman. They will never say anything is impossible. They will always persevere. They will always have hope. They will always have faith that it can be done. And I think it's such a strong Mr. Haskell for our lives. So many times in life, maybe not you, but we are faced with situations that seem insurmountable, that seem impossible. Individually, we do not know how we can persevere through such a matzav. We do not know if there's any hope on the horizon. We don't even bother to try because we think, I just can't do it. Certainly nationally, there have been so many times in our history where the odds have been totally stacked against us. Why should we even try? When we talk about Nes Chanukah, of course we acknowledge the miracles that the Ribono Shel Olam wrought for us. But it's not surprising that God overturns nature to make miracles because Hashem could do whatever he wants. Na'aso bo Nes v'hidliko mimenu. That we don't say in life, when we look at a difficult matzav, whether it's individuals or Knesset Yisrael, we don't say, well, I can't count the stars, so I'm not even starting. And we don't say, well, there's just so much tumah, what's one little pach shemen? Just a pathetic amount of oil, enough for one night, I'm not even trying. That's not the attitude of Knesset Yisrael, and it's not the attitude of every individual Jew. We have the koach from Avraham Avinu that we try. And that's what I think we see in Al Hanisim, which we recite. I should have, you pretty much know the words off by heart. I'm going to read it for you. But I think that we see this understanding in the extra tefillah that we add, both in Shemona Esrei and during Birkas HaMazon. B'yimei Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmonai Uvanav. In the days of Matisyahu, the high priest from the Chashmonai family, K'sha'am Damachus Yavan HaRasha Al Amcha Yisrael, when the wicked Yavan HaRasha stood over your people Israel. They wanted us to forget Torah. They wanted us to cross over to the other side. Aver. They want us to get us to do averos, to forget Hashem's chukim. But Ata, you, Berachamecha harabib amadata lahem beit saratam. Of course, God comes to our aid in a time of tzara. Ravtas rivam danantas nam nakantas nukmasam. He enacted our judgments. He fought our battles. He took vengeance for us. Masarta giborim biyad chalashim. Verabim biyad ma'atim. Utmein biyad tor. Mushan biyad tzadikim. V'yizeidim biyad auschei torasecha. Those are all miracles of who? Hashem. It's a miracle. It's divine in nature. It's a miracle from Hashem. I'm sorry. Ulecha asis Hashem gadol v'kadosh ba'olamecha. You made for your name a great and holy name in this world because they're your miracles. La'amcha Yisrael asisa. You did for Israel teshua gdolo furkan kayamazah. Great victory and salvation. But how do we end this paragraph, this additional tefillah? What comes next? Va'achar kach ba'u banecha lidvir beisacha. First, we talk about the miracles that Hashem did. Hashem could do whatever he wants. If Cairo has 500 planes and I have 100 planes and I don't have maps and I don't have satellites and I don't have GPS, which I didn't have anyway in those days, and if I just have to open my door and literally throw the bomb out so Hashem could do whatever he wants... Of course you stood for us. But how do we end Al HaNisim? By recounting our hand in the Nes. The Achar Kach. Ba'u Banecha Lidvir Beisacha. Isn't that a miracle? That we even bothered to go check the sanctuary. That we even went into the Heichal. That we even said we'll try and fix what's wrong here. Upinu at Heichalacha. We turned around. We cleaned up. We checked the Heichal. V'tiharu es mikdashacha. We begin Al HaNisim by speaking about the miracles that were divine in nature. But we end by speaking about the Kolach of Knesset Kisrael. Imtucha lispar osam koyi azarecha. V'hidliku neiros b'chatzrosos kodshacha. They lit at all. They did not give up. I am sure you know instances in your life, in your personal life, in the life of your family or your friends, where a situation seemed impossible. Whether it was for someone to find parnasa, whether it was for someone to find a shidduch, either because of age or because of ability or because of disability, whether it was in terms of academics, the child seemed like such a weak student who would never be successful, whether it was in terms of any other aspect in life where it seems impossible, capital I. Why do we persevere? Why do we go on? V'nasu bo neis v'hidliku mimenu, period. That's the miracle. That's Knesset Yisrael. When everybody thinks it's impossible and we don't give up, nationally and individually, Rav Tzedek HaKohen of Lublin, which is something that I have quoted often. He lived, he died in 1900. Rav Tzedek HaKohen of Lublin famously declares, "Kashem sha'adim tzarich la'ha'amim ba'Hashem, kein tzarich ha'adam la'ha'amim ba'atzmo." Just like we must believe in Hashem and the four miracles that we listed from the Gemara, Shabbos Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, yes, they won the war. Great miracle. Kashem shadam tzarich la'amim ba'Hashem. And they only found one pach shemen, la'Hashem. And it had the chosim of the Kohen Gadol. And it lived for 8 days. Kashem shadam tzarich la'amim ba'kosh baruch hu. Kein tzarich ha'adam la'amim ba'asmo nasa bo'nes v'yidliku mimeno. And I'm really talking to myself. And it's not only Musar, but it's Chizuk. And for times in life when it seems impossible, it's not impossible. And that's why we say, va'acharkach, ba'u banecha lidvir beisacha, va'acharkach wa, when we witness God's miracles and we understood we have a command to emulate the Ribbon Shalom, to work our own miracles. Mahu af'ata v'halachta b'drach of the Gemara that I quote all the time, so to Yudal Amraf, we have a command to go in his ways. So we saw that God did miracles, so we say now it's our turn. Va'acharkach, ba'u banecha lidvir beisacha. Against all odds, we believed it could happen. In the book, Angels in the Sky, which I mentioned already, there's a quote from Ben-Gurion, who is not considered a dati person in the way that we consider religiously observe in person. And he said, quote, to live in Israel. This is not coming from a person who's Shomer Torah Mitzvot. To live in Israel, in order to be a realist, one must believe in miracles. And then subsequently, I saw that quote brought down in other places in the name of Ben-Gurion. To live in Israel, in order to be a realist, you must believe in miracles. But not only miracles of the Ribono Shel Olam, miracles that we have the tenacity and faith, the amunah, the perseverance, the koach, to not give up. If you look at the last source on your handout, it's from Sefer Shemos. Parak Lamed Tes, this is at the end of the book of Shemos. The Mishkan is all completed. On your handout it says Shemos 39:33. Lamed Tes, Lamed Gimel. Vayaviu es ha-Mishkan al Moshe. They bring all the parts of the Mishkan to Moshe, as her ohel, the tent covering, vest called Kalev, and all of the Kalim, the implements, krasov, the hooks, krashov, beams, bricho, bars, the amudov, and the pillars, the adonov, and the sockets. They bring everything to Moshe. What's Moshe supposed to do with this whole assemblage of items? It's not put together in any sort of meaningful form. It's just parts of a whole, not a whole. Rashi, vayaviu es ha-mishkan. Shelo hayu yochin lahakimo. They made all the parts, but they could not put it up. Because Moshe did not do any work for the Mishkan. Yeah, he collected, he was the overseer, he was in charge, but Betzalel was the craftsman, and he had helpers, and the people donated. And Moshe didn't really do anything for the Mishkan. So Hashem left the establishment of the Mishkan for Moshe. No one else could put it up. Moshe Rabbeinu apparently must have been very strong. Nobody could put it up because the beams were so heavy. It's gold, it's wood, there's silver hooks, there's copper, there's 10 spreads over the Mishkan itself. It's too heavy. There's the ram skin dyed red. Could you imagine? She'ein koch ba'adam lezakva. Nobody, there's no strength in man to erect the heavy beams and to put the whole thing together. Moshe ha'amido. Moshe put it up. Okay. But Rashi continues. It wasn't so pashut that Moshe put it up. Amar Moshe, the Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe said, before the Almighty, Eich Efshar HaKamaso Al Yedei Adam. How is it possible for a human being to put this up? They didn't have machinery, they didn't have cranes. How is it possible? I'm a mortal, a very great mortal, an unbelievable prophet. No one like Moshe ever lived, but I'm still a human being. Eich efshar hakamaso al yedei adam. How can a man put this up? Amar lo, and I bolded it for you. Asok ata biyadcha v'nira kimikimo v'hu nizkaf v'kameela. You put forth your hand. You do your part. It will look like you're putting it up. But really, it's going up by itself. So, if Hashem wanted it to go up by itself, because Hashem could do anything he wants, then why did he need Moshe to put forth his hand at all? Why should it look like Moshe's doing it if Hashem's really doing the job? And here we come back to our point of our shir. Asok ata biyadcha. Of course the Ribono Shel Olam helps us with everything. Of course the miracle of oil was godly. Of course finding the shaman was from Hashem. Of course winning Rabim Biyad Atim Giborim Biyad Chalashim Tmeim Biyad Tahorim. Of course it's all from Hashem. But ve'achar kach ba'u be'nachal edvir be'secha ufinu esecha lacha v'diharus mitashacha asok ata biyadcha. A Jew must put forth his hand. No matter how many stars there are, no matter how many airplanes you have, no matter how heavy are the beams, no matter how defiled the whole temple is, we cannot give up. No matter how monumental and insurmountable. Sometimes you look at a person, you look at a matzav, we might say, how will the Yeshua ever come? How will the Yeshua ever come? How will the Shidduch materialize? How will this child ever be successful? How will they learn Derech Eretz? How will this person learn social etiquette? Whatever it is. Ultimately, it's up to God. But Hashem requires Hishtadlus. Asok ata biyadcha. It's true, they're too heavy. It's true the Heichal's destroyed. It's true there's 10 billion. I don't know how many stars. It's true you have one airplane. That's to Krach and to Hargana. And they have so many. Asok ata biyarcha v'nira kim kimavu nizka v'kame el. Hashem is behind all nisim. What's the greatest nes, perhaps? Na'ase bo nes v'hidliku mimenu. That we lit at all. That we defied the odds. That we believed it was possible to restore sanctity to Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael, no matter how bleak and horrible the picture looked. And those small sparks of light on Hanukkah, and perhaps we can go back now to Beis Shammai and understand a little bit more what Beis Shammai is saying, because we've given multiple interpretations into understanding the psak halacha of Beis Shammai. He's not saying you go down in Kedusha. Of course not. We gave multiple reasons. He's saying you commemorate the days that are to come, not what is past. He's saying that the Umos HaOlam will diminish, just like the Parei HaChag diminish, so too their false light will diminish till Knesset Yisrael is left all alone. But maybe we can apply the psak now of Beis Shammai to our Hashkafic second half of the Shir. Beis Shammai is saying, when it's very bright and it's full of light, i.e. life is easy, there are eight lights in your life and in your home, so of course it's easy to light. Things are going great. Eight lights, there's Shalom Bayis, there's Parnasa, there's Shalom in Eretz Yisrael, everyone has a Shidduch, nobody needs a Refuah Shleima, all the children do well in school, nobody's fighting, so you light the menorah. Now seven, you're missing something. It's not so great anymore. There's Shalom Bayis, but I need Parnasa. That light has been extinguished. And then you go down, and two lights have been extinguished. Now I need Parnasa, Rechmal son, somebody needs Refuah Shleima. Everyone's still doing well in school, and and now you go down. Now you can come to the point, even, where there's only one little bit of light in my life. Everything seems so bleak. There's no status quo on this Yodos. Let me break it to everybody. There's no limit. You can have multiple. So what happens when you come down to one? There's only one little bit of light. And everything else seems so difficult, seems so extinguished, seems so hard. You still have to light one, no matter how bleak, because that one little flame is the greatest nace. We never give up believing and hoping that even if I only have one parcel of light in my life, and we all have much more than one parcel of light in our lives. But even if that's all you have, you light. Because that one light represents the triumph of Asok Ata Biyadcha. And that light represents Uspar HaKochavim. And that light represents that in order to live in Israel, to be a realist, you must believe in Nisim. And that light represents perhaps the greatest nes that the Gemara is teaching us here. Let's go over the Gemara to end Shir. Kishenichnasu Yuvanim leheichal, timu kol hashmanim, shabeheichal, third paragraph of Masech HaShabbos, v'kishegavra malchus beis chashmonai, v'datzchum, v'adku v'lo matzu al apach echad shal shem. And these are all miracles, shahaya munach, b'chos moshol koim gadol. God could do whatever he wants. V'lo haya bo, ela ladik yom echad, na'ase bo neis v'idiku m'menu, period. That's our niece. So I want to tell you something cool. I'm actually planning to tell it over. Should I tell you something cool? You have 2 minutes? I'm actually probably telling it over in another upcoming Hanukkah share at the main group. So if you heard it already, whatever, you'll have a review. I wasn't really planning to say, but it's so amazing, I want to share it with you. I was thinking about Beis Chashmonai. The Ramban also speaks about them in Bamidbar, Parak 8, Parakhas, Pasuk Beis, the Ramban speaks about the Hasad Chashmonai, the command to arm to light the menorah. It's such a beautiful Ramban. We're going to learn it in depth there, believe later, unless I change direction, but that's what I'm thinking. So I was thinking of the word Chashmonai. That's why it's not in your handout for you. But if you write down Chashmonai, leave out the Vav, okay? We've been talking a lot in Parsha class lately about Malay and Chaser. If you write Chashmonai down Chaser, it does not have a Vav. So you have Chash, Shin, Mem, Nun, Aleph, Yod. This is the house of the Kohanim, that every Kohen family had names. This is the name of the family of the Kohanim who won the war. And this is unbelievable. Ches, Shemen, Aleph Yod. If you break up the word chashmonai, write it chaser. What you have is ches, shaman, aleph yod. And in the name of the house of the Kohanim is the allusion to the Nes Chanukah and the answer as to why we won the war. Ches Shemen. Why were we zocha to the fact that the miracle of oil was for 8 days? Ches Shemen. There were 8 days where the oil burned. Why Aleph? We testify to the Achdut, the oneness, Echad. We never gave up on believing in the Achdus of the Ribbono Shel Olam. How? By keeping the Aseres HaDibros Yod. By sticking to our faith, by clinging to our belief, we resolve to the miracle. Chas, Shaman, Aleph, Yod. Within the name of the house of the Kohanim teaches us how a Jew must always live his life. And we always live by the Achdut, the oneness of God. And we cling to Torah, ki hem chayenu va'orach lemenu. And we believe in the MS of Torah, and we don't give up, not on God, chas v'sham, not on Torah, chas v'sham, but also, we don't give up on our very own selves. We are zocha to the miracle of chas shem. And so halavai, we should be zocha to the day when it will be like Beis Shammai Paskins, just us, with the achdus, with the oneness of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that tiny amount of light, we are all chayiv, says the Babbage Rebbe, to take our own match and light our own flame. I wish you a chodesh tov. I will see you before then, but a very lichtige Chanukah. Thank you all for your time.